Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
He's the man Talkers Magazine says is one of the most important talk show hosts in America.
We tell you over and over again that you're wonderful and you just don't get it. What's wrong with you?
He's Jim Blasingame, our small business advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me today. It's my pleasure. You just tuned in. Welcome aboard. Julie Lenzer-Kirk is here. I promised you she'd be here. She is. She is an entrepreneur extraordinaire. She started her own business and grew it to a very successful level and then let somebody else worry about it and took her coupons and went home, so to speak. She started another business, and it's called Path Forward International. She also teaches entrepreneurship at a local college and at University of Maryland, actually, I think it is. And she's the author of the book, The Parentpreneur Edge. It's where she compares starting a business to becoming a parent. And she's a member of our Brain Trust. Welcome back, Julie.
Thanks, Jim. How are you?
Doing great. It's good to have you back. I still love your title, Parentpreneur. That term is so... I've used that example of... It's so amazing how close starting a business and growing it is to having a to bringing a baby into the world and then growing it to adulthood. The parallels are amazing, aren't they?
They really are, and even people that maybe have never thought of it before, when I start to tell them about it, they all of a sudden a light switches on. They're like, "You're right, it's amazing."
Well, you know, I think one thing I think that probably would be a good idea, and I've recommended this over the years in a way, and maybe in a little bit of a variation. You know, when young people are falling in love and they're getting so excited, you know, basically they're not in love, they're in lust, you know, and they think they're in love and they want to get married and you know all that kind of thing. Probably a good idea to and I think some schools have done this. They've issued them babies during the day, you know, and at school and said, "Here, take care of this baby all day long," and that gives them a sort of a wake up call as to what it would be like if you actually brought a baby into the world.
Actually, Jim, I did that in high school with an egg.
Did you really? Or was it an egg? How did it work out?
Well, it was really interesting because if you left your egg unattended, somebody else might take it. You had to carry it everywhere with you, and you had to, make sure it didn't get broken or left in your locker someplace or
right.
Falling down. So it was a really interesting exercise.
But there's one other thing. There's one problem with the egg, though. The egg doesn't really do anything.
Like
have a little accident or anything like that, see? Unless you drop it, of course. By the way, did your egg last during the day?
It did.
You did? Okay, I'm not surprised. You're that kind of person. But you know, seriously, you know, take them and let them change the diapers, you know, the dirty diapers of this little bundle of joy. But so what if we took a person who wanted to be a small business owner and let them go hang out with somebody who had only been in business for a couple of years and let them sit around and watch as that owner maybe pulls their hair out wondering if they're going to make it the next day or not?
Well, you know, that's interesting, Jim, because I am in the process of starting a program. Actually, we won a grant from the State Department. We're bringing 12 women entrepreneurs and aspiring entrepreneurs over from South Africa.
Wow.
And in fact, they arrive in the States this weekend, and we're taking them through 3 weeks of a combination of, I've put together a training program for them about, you know, just entrepreneurship in general. But
from
then
the,
we also
from the,
have...
From so, now, is this from South Africa, the country of South Africa?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, from the country of South Africa. And then we also have an opportunity for them to shadow. We have 2 days where they're going to go and shadow an entrepreneur here in the States at different... somebody at a level that corresponds to a little bit ahead of where they are.
Right. Congratulations.
Yeah, so that's going to be exciting. I'm really looking forward to that. And
well, be sure that your people that they shadow don't pull any punches.
Yeah.
I think it's important that they get everything muzzle blast, don't you?
I agree, and that's why, you know, in any class that I teach, you know, in the Activate program at UMBC that you mentioned, and in this program, it's about, okay, here's the textbook, but we don't spend a lot of time on that. We talk about real world.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to put the real world in a textbook, isn't it?
It really is, and the thing
there's
about
no, there's only, you know, the romance of being a small business owner. There is some romance there, but it's overpowered by the dirty diaper element of owning a business. Julie, hold on to that thought. We're going to take a quick break, folks. It's 20 till the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. She's the author, Julie Linzer-Kirk is the author of The Parentpreneur Edge. That's right. The word is parentpreneur. Think about that. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. My websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com. That's where you can find the show, all the different ways you can listen to the show. You can listen to past interviews that I've done with the hundreds of our Brain Trust members who join me every day. Well, they don't all join me every day, but you know what I mean. And you can read thousands of articles, past interviews. I mean, articles that I've written, articles that my Brain Trust members have written. You can subscribe to my free newsletter there. You can check out our blog, which we update every weekday. Oh, by the way, don't forget, you can stream the interviews that we do, the past shows we've done, including the ones today. You can stream them. You can podcast them if you want, so check that out. And, of course, our knowledge base, askjim.biz. That's where you can get small business answers now. I hope you'll check that out, too. No barrier to entry on any of our websites. So if you can get there, we'll let you come in and hang out with us. Julie Linzer-Kirk is our guest, and we're talking about this parentpreneur thing, the parallels between having a child and having a business. And, you know, Julie, when you have a child, things happen that make you, that cause you to do things that you never thought you would do. I mean, they cause you to go the extra mile because of your feelings for this child. Not only your feelings, but your responsibility for this child. You do things, you wind up doing things that you never thought you would do, don't you?
Oh, absolutely. And that's even beyond sounding like your own mother or father.
Yeah. Yeah, I've said that before. When did I start sounding like my dad?
Uh-huh. But yeah, absolutely. Case in point, my oldest daughter, she went through a bit of anxiety issues where she had trouble going to sleep at night because she couldn't shut her brain down. And,
yeah.
And I swore that we would never have a TV in any of my children's bedroom because, as we were talking earlier, Jim, you know, technology is not all good for kids. Mm-hmm. I mean, especially when it's left unbounded. And but her counselor at school, you know, recommended, she says, well, why don't you try, you know, if that's something that can help her shut her mind down, maybe a TV in her room to help her go to sleep might be the thing. And let me tell you, Jim, I fought that. I said, no. But we went ahead and tried it because she was actually, you know, here she is. She was 12, 13 years old sleeping on our bedroom floor.
Wow.
And so we gave it a try with the rule that you can only turn it on at bedtime. Mm-hmm. You know, so she can't sit up in her room, which is what we didn't want to happen. We didn't mm-hmm. want her to have another reason to separate from the family.
Right.
But she turns it on only when she's going to bed, and it was the magic trick.
Yep.
You know,
I had that same thing. It was so long ago, nobody was diagnosing anything in those like that in those days. But I had a radio, and mm-hmm. I went to sleep every night with the radio on.
Right.
And because I remember being like that. But this is something. These are things that you never when you think about the romance, the romantic idea of being a parent and having this little bundle of joy, you never think about these kinds of things, do you?
Oh, absolutely not. And, you know, in business, I hired people that I trusted. I had a very tight-knit team, and I never thought anybody would do anything that would cause me to, you know, fire them. And it happened. And, you know, I was crushed.
Yeah. What happened?
Well, I had it was actually my bookkeeper and office manager, that somebody casually mentioned to her that she was our second choice to fill that job. We had were going to offer it to somebody else, but then when we did a background check, it didn't flush out, so we hired her instead.
Huh.
Well, she became obsessed with the fact that she was second.
Wow.
And so she went in when my HR manager was at lunch, got on her computer and found this woman's resume.
Oh, no.
And, you know, I mean, she never came to me and asked, or I would have told her what happened.
Yeah, yeah.
And she forwarded it to herself and then tried to delete her trail because she obviously knew that what she did was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and I happened to find it on the printer. I mean, she wasn't overly intelligent.
Right.
And, I mean, I had to fire her on the spot, you know, because going behind the back and, you know, just it was a trust issue, and I couldn't, especially somebody that did my books, I just
right.
couldn't let
no,
it sit
you,
like that.
Absolutely. No, you did the right thing. But now, these are the kinds of dirty little details that when people are starting a business, it never occurs to them that they might have these kinds of things.
That's right.
And so, I mean, you know, I tell people all the time, Julie, I have for years, I've said, if you've never worked in a small business and now you want to become a small business owner, you know, that's the case many times, Julie, is people work for big businesses and they retire, they get fired or downsized or laid off, whatever. And all of a sudden they decide to be a small business owner. You know, they've never been in one before.
Right.
And how are you going to know what that's supposed to look like? It's not the same as a big business. And I tell them, why don't you go get a job in a small business doing what you think you'd like to do and see what goes on in that environment?
Well, I think you have to be really flexible. I didn't do that. I went straight from IBM to my own small business. But I'll tell you what, there was a lot of on-the-job training that went on.
Yeah.
It's just like being a parent.
You had to come up to speed real quick, didn't you?
That's right. It's just like being a parent. You know, you can read all the books you want, but at the end of the day, there's a lot of on-the-job training, and you got to be flexible, I think.
Well, and I don't think there's no way that employment could prepare you for how much your mettle will be tested as a business owner.
Oh no, yeah. Just open the mail and get that first letter from the IRS saying they want to look at something.
Or the phone rings and your receptionist says, Jim, it's your banker on the phone. He wants to know why you're out of cash.
Yeah, right.
How about that phone call? You never had that, have you, Julie?
No, I have not.
I have many times, too many times in the past. Tintel, quick break, right back after these messages. Stay with us. I'm Jim Lessingame, small business advocate. That's Booker T and the MGs, as I remember. I think that's right. With the green, I think that's Green Onions, isn't that? Isn't that that song? Yeah. It's one of those good ones. Julie Linzer-Kirk is our guest. She's the author of The Parentpreneur Edge. Julie, give us your website. Tell us where your book is available, please.
My book is available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, pretty much anywhere online and in some bookstores. And then my website is julielenzerkirk.com. That's J-U-L-I-E-L-E-N-Z as in zebra, E-R-K-I-R-K.
All right. And can they find out more about the things that you're doing there? Some of that?
Absolutely.
Because you're doing a lot of work, a lot of international work, and I'm really proud of you, Julie, for the work that you're doing with business, with prospective business owners, especially. I know you're doing a lot of work with women. I know you're doing a lot of international work with women on helping them get their business going, and in some of these countries that you work with, the degree of difficulty is exponential, isn't it, compared to the way it is in the United States?
Oh, it is. And it's not just it's economic issues of, you know, the woman in Iraq, they have electricity powers. They only have electricity 4 hours a day. And then to the Latin America, where there's cultural issues, where spouses aren't always supportive of women starting businesses, and there's just a lot of, but it's amazing, as many different, you know, challenges as they have, there are so many that we share.
Well, there are. The fundamentals are all the same.
It is.
The business fundamentals are the same, but then when you overlay these cultural issues, as you say, many times they're religious issues.
Mm-hmm.
There are infrastructure issues. When you overlay those, that's when Americans really need to realize how fortunate we are to have, to basically have whatever we need, and sometimes, you know, more than we need in terms of support for starting a business.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Go
ahead.
No, I was just going to say, you know, I mean, they still have, they struggle with finding, hiring people they can trust, and, you know, how do they balance work and their family life? And in other countries, it's, you know, it's less taboo to talk about your family, because the culture assumes that the woman is the primary caregiver, and that's just the way that it is.
Mm-hmm.
And so they really, you know, appreciate being able to talk about those things. They're not shy about it, because it's just so much a part of who they are.
You know, Julie, we were talking earlier about this, the things that you have to go through to be a business owner. One of the things that you and I were talking about earlier, and I was talking in previous interview with our good friend Beverly Williams, is the fact that I've not been feeling well this week. I don't feel that bad. I just have had a real bad cold. But, you know, I've show up every day. I've done my show every day. I've worked the whole day, every day. You've got, one of the things you have to realize, if you're going to be a business owner, you got to show up.
Right.
And you got to be there. And you don't get sick days. When you start a business, nobody issues you any sick days, do they?
No, they don't. But you do have to take care of yourself, because it is hard work.
You do have to. But I mean, if you're the kind of person, Julie, I know people who work for major corporations. And January 1, they every year, they already know they're going to stay home with the sniffles some that year.
Mm-hmm.
If that's the kind of person you are, you don't need to start a business.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, on the other hand, though, Jim, one of the things that you can do is build your business so that you are the most expendable person in it.
Right.
And
that takes time, Judy. That doesn't happen in the first five years or more.
No. It does take time. I was able to take a vacation probably 3 to 4 years into my business without a BlackBerry or internet. And it was by hiring good people.
Yep.
Entrusting them with the business and not, you know, sharing with them how I made decisions, so that if something came up, they could make a decision using the similar criteria that I would.
Right.
And that was really good. I mean, it's eventually, yes, I did become the most operationally expendable person in my company, and that was a good thing.
And that also helped you to sell your business successfully, didn't it?
That's right. And we sold our asset. We sold our software. So we built value that was not just in people.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
And that's sometimes hard to do, but. But it's something you should, if you're thinking about selling at some point, you got to look at what value are you building in your business. Can't just be you.
When you come back the next time, let's talk about work-life balance. What do you think?
Okay. Sounds good. I know
that's something you've been working on a lot lately, and I'd like to talk about that, because I think that's important. The business is important, but you got to keep everything else in perspective too, don't you?
You do.
Yeah. Julie, thank you for being here. Good job today.
As always, Jim, it was a pleasure.
Julie Linzer-Kirk, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.